Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter, reading there the 15th verse. And Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A pastor once told me about a couple, an elderly couple in a congregation that he was serving many years ago. And they had three middle-aged children, all of whom had married at different levels of wealth. This elderly couple themselves had established quite an estate by the end of their life. Their three children had married different individuals, and one of them had been very, very blessed and had a lot of wealth and income. Another one, quite a bit, but not quite so much as the first. And then the third one, a little bit. And so they decided that the best way to do their will, to break up their estate and pass it on to these three children, was to divide it unevenly according to the proportion of the wealth that their children already had. So in other words, the one with the least would get more, and the one who had the most would get the least from their estate. Sad to say, this pastor told me, that after the couple passed away and the will was read and so on, it wasn't the children that ended up arguing about it, but their spouses began fighting about it, to such an extent that it divided the entire family. So here, the very thing that this elderly couple had hoped to accomplish by dividing their inheritance the way they did ended up causing the very thing they didn't want to have happen. An inheritance question is what is prompting the text before us. A man in the crowd has yelled out to Jesus, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus uses this statement that everybody in the crowd hears as an opportunity to launch into an address on the spiritual dangers of greed and covetousness, or avarice. Earthly greed, as Jesus addresses here and elsewhere in Scripture, earthly greed causes us to neglect the spiritual matters of life, and it drains away from us our love for Christ and his kingdom and our hope of everlasting life in heaven. Now, covetousness is something that can grow in the heart of every person at every age of life and stage of life, and likewise regardless of your financial status. If you're very wealthy, it can become your heaven. If you have just an average income, it may be the thing that's always causing you to wish you just had that next step up a little bit more. And if you have little, it may make you envious and jealous of others who have more than you do. We are just naturally, because of our sinful human nature, drawn to wealth. We are so drawn to riches in this world. Just watch children as a limousine goes by. How impressed they can be with that. Or when a new fiance shows off her big diamond, the larger the rock, boy, the more our eyes light up. The songwriter Bruce Springsteen talks about how when he was a little boy, his dad used to take him in the car. His dad worked at a factory, and they would drive outside of town and sit out on the highway and sit up on the hood of the car and just stare at some of the mansions. And talk about what would it be like to live in those mansions someday. And it's even dangerous for those who, you might say, are spiritually advantaged, who have been blessed with the Christian faith close to them and in their lives. It's no different tug on our hearts. Judas sat at the feet of Christ every day for 3 years during his public ministry, and it just took 30 pieces of silver to pull him away. Ananias and Sapphira were blessed to be in the presence of the Apostle Peter in the early church and watch martyrs die in front of them for the sake of their faith. But they were drawn away by their love of money. Pastors who are paid full-time wages to be able to preach the Word of God and teach the Word of God and teach about the dangers of this. When the subject of salaries comes up among pastors, they sound just like everybody else. Trust me. Working in a church-related school as a member of the faculty or staff and so on, we can still become envious of others who maybe work somewhere else and what we would make if we just worked there. You want to see people show up for a meeting at Bethany? You want to see me really show up for a meeting at Bethany? Put together a meeting that deals with our retirement plan. Yeah, that'll bring them out. Me too. This is all challenging to us in our lives of faith. And here's the great challenge that we face as Christians. We know that because of what Christ has done for us, and because of his great purchase for us on the cross, we have the hope of heaven waiting for us. But we don't get to touch it now. We don't get to see it now. We don't get to have it in our possession right now. We just have to live by faith, waiting for it, that we will someday get to enjoy it. And in the meantime, we get to see all the stuff we could have in this life. And we also have to put up with the taunting and the jeering and the ridicule of the world, that thinks it's ridiculous that we're living for something we can't see. And those of you that are in your youth have a special challenge, because not only do you have all the wealth in front of you in this world that you can look at and see, but you have the added problem that is growing lesser for me, but the added problem that you think you've got a long time to come back to spiritual matters, that you can set Christ aside now in your life and chase all this stuff, and someday when your hair starts to get gray, then you can come back. One of our church fathers uses the sin of greed and covetousness. He speaks of it like a leech, a horse leech. There's certain leeches that when a horse would stick its muzzle down into the water to get a drink, would latch onto the horse. And if it wasn't taken off soon enough, it would ultimately kill them. Leeches look for a host. And apparently some leeches have in them an anesthetic that when they bite into the skin of their host, they make it so it's not felt. And in addition to that, there is an enzyme that they emit back into the bloodstream of their host that is an anti-clotting enzyme that causes the blood to continue to flow without clotting. What a picture of the wealth of this world and the riches of this world when they attach themselves to our souls, to our hearts, to our minds, to what's important to us and what drives us. Paul warned Timothy about people who were in the early church in his day. He says, some have wandered from the faith because of this. They've been blessed to be part of the apostolic church, but they'd already walked away because of the wealth of the world. How little it takes to steal away our hearts. Whatever you make the object of love for your heart in this world will ultimately drive you and motivate you. As Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So our Lord in love is warning us today. He doesn't want this to be the thing that pulls us away from him and ultimately heaven. He says, be on your guard. Take heed. Watch out. Be careful. Paul even wrote to Timothy, who was studying to be a pastor at the time, man of God, flee from all of this. It's interesting how value is determined. Value is determined by what you might be willing to give up to possess something. Think of that with our money or time or anything else. What are you willing to give up in order to possess something? Think of how fantastic heaven must be, that the Son of God considered that it was so important and valuable for you to have that in your future, to live there forever someday, that he was willing to give up his life, to suffer hell, to take the abuse for all of our wickedness and guilt and sin, yeah, even our greed, to take that to the cross, to shed his holy and innocent blood, to be completely forsaken by his Father, all for us. He thought that that was worthy of his time, his mission, his very life. Just think how amazing heaven must really be. Amen. Please rise. I invite you now to join me in the prayer that you'll find on page 168. Page 168. In the front part of the hymn book, the prayer for Monday morning. And let us join in unison. At the beginning of the week, I cry to you, O Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would fill my heart and mind with your Holy Spirit, that I may think, speak, and do only that which pleases you. Unite my thoughts and desires with yourself in the love of Jesus Christ. Cleanse my conscience with his blood, that I may grow in you this entire week, yes, all the days of my life. Strengthen me with your might, make me sincere in my love to you, and willing to serve you and my neighbor. Teach me to resist the temptation of my own corrupt heart in the enticements of evil men. Make the vanity of this world bitter to me, that you may become the more sweet. Teach me also to bear the burden of this week. Lead me as a loving father, and help me to follow you as your child and obey you. Bless all my labor and guide me with your wisdom, that I may be cheerful and confident and also faithful in all my work. Be the beginning and the end of all my labor, to your glory and my salvation.